I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 for our meditation before we come to the table. This also, by the way, as one has called it, life on a higher plane. I'm somewhat afraid of titles we give to things per se, or slogans. But the book of Ephesians takes us to the heavenlies. It lifts us from earth to heaven because it reminds us that truly, the true believer's life is hidden with Christ in God, and our lives hidden with Christ in God is where Jesus is now. He is in glory. And my friends, positionally, you are with Him in glory. Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with Him. The glory of it all. And when we come to the table, we remind ourselves of the awful and terrible price He paid in order that we might spend eternity with Him. This past week, I was involved in what is known as a spiritual life convention, and thanks to so many of you who attended as well. And Stuart Briscoe was the speaker. And Stuart Briscoe asked a question. Why is it that we know so many spiritual truths, and yet it seems to do little for our lives? When it comes to knowledge, we are not lacking. Like the Corinthians, North America is full of knowledge. You can find a book, even at Kohl's, having to do with the Christian life and how to live it. And yet, in spite of the fact we know these knowledge, we know these things, there seems to be a chasm between our heads and our hearts. I hope that as we go through this tremendous passage this morning, brief albeit, that God by His Spirit will take His truth and will affect our lives so that when we come to the table, we will have the sense of what the Bible speaks about when it speaks of it in these terms found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians 3, 9 through 11. Perhaps we should begin at 8. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable, the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. In order, here's my text, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, now, this present moment as we are gathered together, now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God carried out in Christ our Lord. It seems that I am reminiscing this morning, and perhaps when you talk about the past, it tends to say that you're getting old. I taught Wayne Langsford's class this morning, and I kept referring to when I was young. When I was young. When I was young. You see, this year, I'm going to be 50. Now, I know that some of you will at the end of the service say, you're a young boy. Well, that might be true. I'll accept that. But I don't feel like I used to feel. I don't do things I used to do. At least I hope not. Because I want to tell you about when I was a young chap in school, what I did. I didn't have my homework done. Now in my day, when you didn't have your homework done, you visited the principal's office. And you visited the principal's office to do your exercise. That is, you touch your toes. And he applied the strap. And this one day, I didn't finish my homework. And I was scared. I didn't want the strap anymore. I'd been getting it quite a few times. And I decided this one day I wasn't going to go to school. And I spent the most miserable day of my life. Because every turn I made, I thought, someone is watching you. Somebody will find you out, and somebody will tell your mother. And I often say of my mother, a very small lady, although not born in America, she was a real American. She used to give me the stripes, I used to see the stars in those ways. She did. And I never tried it after that. I never tried staying away from school after that. Because I was always conscious of the fact that I might get caught. Somebody will tell my mother I wasn't in school. Well, they found out, and that's not the story. I will leave that there. But I'm telling you this, my friends, because in our text this morning, we are told that we are being watched. That as we come into the house of God as a corporate body of people, we are being watched. Now, you're not being watched to see if you miss. You're not being watched for any other purpose than it is important that you are being watched. Listen to our text again from Ephesians 3 and 10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Somebody, somewhere, is watching us. Now I want to develop this theme this morning briefly as we come to the table. Because, my friends, no better place can ever or has ever been invented for our observers to watch in order that they might learn than the communion table. Meditate with me for a moment on the identity of our observers. The identity of our observers. They are described for us, first of all, as, in the Old King James, principalities and powers. The New American Standard says they are authorities and they are rulers, or powers. We're not told their names, but we're told their description, in the description, what they are. We're told, my friends, that they are principalities, those who are given the right to rule. Those who rule in another world, if you please. Those who are all powerful one day on earth, Zechariah was doing his work in the temple. And one of those principalities came and spoke to Zechariah. And as he spoke to him, Zechariah became frightened because there was somewhat of a glory around this one who came. He was watching Zechariah. He knew where he was. He knew where he was supposed to be, what he was supposed to be doing. And St. Paul says that God has so ordained that when we come together, we are being observed by principalities. We're being observed by powers. That is, those who have superhuman authority to do things that ordinary humans do not have. So, the description of our observers as we are together this morning, they are full of power. Not their own, given to them. They're full of authority. They rule. But St. Paul tells us not only do we know their description, we know their domain. They are in the heavenly. Now, if you look in your King James, you will see that the word places are in italicized letters, which means that the translators supported the text with those words. They're not trying to deceive us. They're saying there is no word to fully express so the English reader could understand. And so they supply the word places, but they are in the heavenlies. They are above the sky. This is how we know, my friends, that we are being observed by angels this morning. Because they are there in the heavenlies. The word literally means above. It means celestial. So that the description of those rulers, those authorities, in their order given to them by God, they actually reside in heaven. And so Peter, writing for us, says they tiptoes from the realms of glory to see what is happening when the church comes together. So, one has rightly said, when we come together, the church is like a university for the angels, and the saints are their professors. Because they are to learn from the church something of the unspeakable wisdom of God. So we are being observed by principalities and powers. Does that scare you? No, my friends, it shouldn't. Because it is saying that God, in his own wisdom, from way out there in eternity, so will that a time would come when we would come together, and for angels to learn what God is doing in human lives by observing the church. Observing the behavior of the redeemed. Watching, if you please, with a great sense of anticipation. What will they show of this manifold wisdom of God? You see the difference? When I didn't go to school, I was afraid of being caught. When we come together now, we should be delighted because we become teachers for the angels. Angels are wise, they are powerful, but my friends, angels are not redeemed and they do not know what our redemption brings. And for them to know anything of the wisdom that works in the human heart, they must look at the church. How? I don't know. The Bible tells us we must be careful that we do not entertain angels unaware. I shall never, never forget years and years ago when I first came to Canada. When I left Central America, it was 65 above and we were freezing. And the first night I arrived in Alberta, it was 22 degrees below zero and a blizzard you couldn't see 1 inch ahead of you. And I thought, Thurton, you are crazy. I did. I thought, why am I here? By the way, you know what cured me? Trying to make a long distance call to British Endurance in Central America. When I asked the operator how much, and she told me, I said, thank you very much. Never got homesick after that. But I remember standing in a terminal in Calgary. Cold, homesick, frightened, confused. And I shall never forget, my friends, someone walked up to me. And this person was all dressed in black. That's all I can remember. And this person said to me, can I help you? And I looked. I said, yes. I said, I want to find Bob Orr. And he said, where does Bob Orr live? I said, I don't know. Really? I said, I know that he's taking flying lessons at some place in Calgary. Do you know the name of the school? I said, no, I don't know. And I can remember my friends, that fellow going through all the motions. And he called the first school, and that's the school that Bob Orr was attending. And Bob came from a place called Okotoks. And he came and he got me. Now, I don't know, friends. I don't know. I will find it when I get to glory. But I believe that was an angel. The Bible teaches, my friends, that angels observe the church. And in Hebrews 1, they are there to minister to the saints. I can't explain it. Corrie ten Boom tells the same thing. We are being observed. And no better place for the angels to learn of what God is doing in human hearts than when we come to the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord. Very quickly, what are they supposed to be instructed in? Look at, secondly, the instruction of our observers. The identification, the instructions. That they might be enlightened as they see the beauty of God's wisdom. The word there is manifold. manifold. And the word means that which is different, vary, that which is intricate. Actually, the word manifold describes a beautiful garden where there are all kinds of flowers that blend, nothing clashing, nothing conflicting, everything supporting in absolute balance. That's what the word wisdom, manifold means. So that the angels, when they observe, they are observe the many sides to the wisdom of God. As they look at you and they look at me as we come, and they will see that God acted in eternity to give his son to die so that one day in the future of time, the church might come together and the angels might see how the wisdom of God brought his son into the world as a babe, how he lived, how cruel men took him and crucified him, and through that death, redemption was made possible for mankind. Paul could not understand this manifold wisdom, so he cries out, if you please, in worship. In Romans 11, 33, oh, the depth, both of the wisdom and the wisdom, the majesty, the faithfulness of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. If angels, my friends, are to know how the purposes of God are being unfolded, not in heaven, but on earth, they see it in the church when we come together at the table. This, my friends, was the plan of God in eternity. This was the plan of God before time existed. The Son responded to the pain of the Father to reconcile the world to himself. And he offered himself, he gave up heaven's glory, and he came and he died, and we celebrate it this morning. Angels will know of the wisdom of God in his plan of redemption. Our time is gone, but not only the beauty of the wisdom of God, but the blessings of the wisdom of God. What is the blessings of the wisdom of God? That, my friends, in the day to come, when Jesus came, he came only to the Jews, as he said. When that woman, the Syrophoenician woman, went to Christ and asked for her daughter to be healed, he said, I've come only to the chosen people. And she pleaded with him. It's not that Christ was being discriminatory. It's that the plan of God was for the Jews to have the gospel and for them to actually disperse that gospel into the world, and they failed to do so, and he chose the church. But in the church, the wisdom, that which was a mystery, that is, something secret known only to God, has been made known to the Apostle Paul. He preached the gospel, and now the gospel says, the blessings of God's wisdom is to bring Jews and Gentiles and make them into one, breaking down the middle wall of partition so that they are one man now, not two people anymore. My friends, that's the blessings of God's wisdom. And I thought about that as I meditated upon this text. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, Sunday morning, there will be a black face up there. And there'll be brown faces down there. And there'll be light faces out there. And there'll be tall people out there. And there'll be short people out there. But all one in Christ, because that's the blessings of the wisdom of God. And the angels, my friends, see the wisdom of God when we come together not to display who we are because of our birth, but what we are because of our rebirth. And angels will observe us this morning as we come to the table, the bread broken for you, the cup, the new covenant in my blood for you, so that the hymn writer was moved to write, in Christ, there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. The plan of God in redemption, the purpose of God in wisdom, bringing each of us from different places this morning to come and sit as one around the table because of the manifold wisdom of God. Let us pray. Oh God, we do not want to come carelessly to the table this morning. When we realize that angels are observing us to know what the wisdom of God is like in human hearts, may they see this morning grace in action, love in action, purity in action, peace in action, forgiveness in action, hope in action. May they see all that God intended for eternity through the church. Oh God, may the Spirit take this short meditation, cause us to realize that we are being observed for good this morning. And may what the angels see educate them about the manifold wisdom of God. Take a moment, friends, to meditate upon your thoughts about God even now. Give thanks to Him. Worship Him. Little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Let's sing it, just without music, just our voices. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so well, those who have been asked to serve, please come forward at this time. Please have your little chorus books ready for during the time the men are serving. We'll be singing those choruses that are enumerated there for you, so that we might tell the angels what we think of our blessed Lord this morning as they observe us. Please wait until everyone has been served, both the bread and the cup, and we will take together, signifying our oneness in the Lord Jesus Christ.